You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
You can rest assured you won't be here long tonight, okay?
You want to double the fee I got for that last one, I'll do another one.
Anyway, we're glad you're here. I hope you enjoy it. We're glad you're here for the first time, and I hope you make a habit of coming to the rec room. Brother Charles is going to come and sing special for us now. That's a great song. Great song. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Somebody asked me one time, what would you talk about if you had one message? If you knew this was going to be your last time to ever speak to anybody. And I didn't have to think long about that. And you know what? At my age, every time I stand up, it may be my last time. I told somebody the other day, we don't buy ripe bananas. I may not have time to let them ripen. And Anyway, my Bible people are up. If you'd like to have a Bible, turn over to the book of John, chapter 3. And guess where we're going? And if you'd like to follow with us, if you'll raise your hand, we'll get you a Bible. And let me say this about that Bible. If you don't have a Bible here with you, just keep that one as our gift to you. Anybody else need a Bible? Yeah, we got one. Got a couple. But if you don't have one, just keep that one. That'll be our gift to you. We want you to have a Bible. You need a Bible. And somebody said, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, y'all try reading it. I remember back right after I became a Christian, it was an older black preacher that one of the young preacher students gave him a set of commentaries. Now, you may not even be aware of what those, but it's they were Bible kind of encyclopedia things. It was like 20 volumes, 20 different books, all in, and they're on the whole Bible. They explained the Bible, and they wanted to try to help this old black preacher. And they gave him those commentaries. And a few weeks later, this young kid asked him, he said, well, you read them commentaries? And he said, yes, sir. He said, well, you think about it. He said, the Bible sure do throw a lot of light on them. I'm just for reading the Bible. Now, I'm not against helps. I'm not against that. I thank God for the people that have helped me. And I thank God for the folks that have helped us get to the answers sometime quicker. And I'm not a good student. I don't dig things out. But I'm gonna tell you what, read your Bible. If you don't do anything else, just read it every day. It's kind of like if you take a sieve that has gotten dirty, if you just run water through it, after so much water, it's going to get clean. If you just keep running water through it, and the same thing, the Bible, you just keep running the Bible through you, it'll change you. It'll affect you. David said, thy word hath I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible gets in your mind, gets in your conscience. That's something the world are trying to get us rid of anymore. But it'll get there. So I want to go to the place, like I said, if I have one message, if this was my last one that I was ever going to get to speak, this is where I'd go, because this is the heart and soul of this book, these verses we're going to read. John chapter 3, here's the setting. One of the most religious men in Israel went to Jesus. He went to him by night. I guess maybe he might have been ashamed to talk to him during the day. Maybe he didn't want anybody to see him during the day. It doesn't tell us why, and I'm not going to try to second guess that. But he went to Jesus by night, and he began to question him. He was a ruler of the Jews. He's as high as you can go. And he said, we know you came from God, Jesus. There's no doubt about that because of the miracles. Charles was talking a while ago about the miracles. They said, because of the miracles you do, we know that only you could do that coming from God. You can't come from Satan and do all that. And immediately Jesus just cut to the chase. He didn't discuss creation with Nicodemus. We don't leave. We're all going to be here a little bit. He didn't discuss if there were life on other planets. He didn't discuss any of those things like that. He just said, if you're not born again, you're not going to get the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, don't make any difference what you do. You must be born again. And Nicodemus immediately took this from the mother's side, and he said, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus wasn't talking about that. He's talking about from the man's side. That seed, that word of God, must be planted in a person's heart. And here's how he summed it up. And look at verse 16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son. He begins to give. He didn't just stop here. And lots of times we do. And I think that verse would be enough. That will help you get to heaven. That one verse, if that's all you knew, used to, and you can't do that anymore, but used to at football games, you'd see this sign, John 3:16. You'd see it at public places. You'd see it at NASCAR. You'd see it in the stands, John 3:16. And that's enough, for God so loved the world. And most of us are very familiar that the world's not lovable, is it? Ain't not much in. God didn't look down and say, man, that's pretty. God looked down and saw mine and your lying and cheating and stealing and all the stuff. And what he saw was pretty rotten. And yet it said he so loved the world that he gave. I had three boys. I still got two. But you know what? I wouldn't give one of them for you. I wouldn't even give one for another. God gave his only Son. This is all he had. He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, and that pretty well means anybody, doesn't it? See, we're not talking something that you got to know Greek to understand. That whosoever believeth in him, hath, that's present tense, everlasting life. Then he said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You'd think sometime that people, the way they treat Jesus, the way they talk about Jesus, that Jesus come to set them up for something. Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world's already condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. This is why Jesus Christ came. His motive was love, but it was reason to get you and I to heaven. We talk about this some, but the reason we started the rec room a few years ago, we found it, one of the things that always just has driven me up the wall. I learned a brand new word when I first went into prison 30 years ago. It was the word recidivism. I'd never heard that word in my life. And I had to go look it up. People kept using the word recidivism. And recidivism is just simply, that means in the criminal justice field what relapse means in the drug and alcohol field. You get out of prison, you go back. Get out of prison, you go back. Some of you, it's just like a revolving door. Now, let me tell you, through the years, through these 30 years, we've been in a lot of prisons, done a lot of different programs, and we've eaten at all of them. And I never found a one that was worth going back for. And I'm going to bet you the room service wasn't that great. I've never heard anybody that got out of prison and said, man, I can't wait to get back. Everybody said, I'm never going back. And yet, today, in our nation, 3 out of every 4 people, 74% of everybody that got out of prison today will be back in trouble with the criminal justice system within 5 years. Now, that's terrible, people. That's awful. You may not be back in prison, but you'll be either in the county or wearing a monitor or being ISF. That is terrible. to be back in that. There's not anything good. I've seen nothing. I never saw a guard I fell in love with. I'm telling you. And somehow when we were in the Big Springs, and we were there for right at 6 years, so we were, you're there every night, I mean every week, every Friday night for that time, and then back over on Saturday afternoon on visitation dealing with the family, you learn quite a bit more than we did when we hit a place maybe 3-4 times a week, like Smith Unit over here at La Mesa. I mean a year, not a week. But we would, some of the guys begin to run some surveys to find out about this recidivism thing. And what they found out is that everybody that was steady in chapel, in a prison, their recidivism rate fell way down. It was much better than if they didn't go to chapel at all. Now, some of the chapels weren't all that great in some of the prison, and I'm going to tell you some of them were great. I met some of the finest men I've ever met. Because that's a pretty thankless job. That's the only guy on the unit that's neutral. Everybody else is, there's a warfare going on in that unit, and y'all know it, and I know it, and that happens. And that guy, many times, if he took up for the inmate, the officers cussed him. And if he sided with the system, the inmates cussed him. He just got a cussing, making a difference which way he went. But some of those guys really worked at getting people. So when we started the rec room, we kind of patterned it. Some of the inmates wanted to pattern it kind of after the prison chapel. And our first goal still, we haven't changed this. Our first goal is to help people get to heaven. Let me tell you something. If I don't encourage you, try to sway you in your thinking, if I don't try to convince you that Jesus Christ will save you and take you to heaven, if I don't do that, I'm your biggest enemy, people. I'm not helping you. I don't care if we help you find the best job you've ever had. I don't care if somehow you can drive the best car you ever had and I introduce you to the most beautiful woman in town and you get married and live happily ever after. If you don't get to heaven, you're a failure. That's our first goal. Our second goal is to keep you out of white. Stay out of white. Don't ever get back in white. We're going to stay out of white. And then that's why we add these things that will help you live now, right now, in Odessa, Texas, or Angelo, or Abilene, or Amarillo, wherever you're from, that you can make it right there. We want to put the ladder of success up and let you climb it as high as you want to climb it. But we want to make sure that it's on the right building. And that building, it's what the Bible said, upon this rock. Jesus said, I build my church. The rock is Jesus Christ. And we don't have any allegiance to a denomination. We don't have any allegiance to a religion. We just want to tell you about Jesus and help you get to heaven and enjoy life while you're going. And you can do that. I believe that with all my heart. He said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not. There's the fallacy that if you do this or you do that, you go to hell. Well, if you steal, you're going to go to hell. Well, if you lie, you're going to go to hell. And it's always, we're talking about, that's why we try to justify ourselves by telling people what we hadn't done. Well, I'm not gay. Well, can't do this. Well, I never did steal anything. I never did do what somebody else did. It didn't make any difference what you hadn't done. Hey, Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed. It's not what we do that gets us in trouble. You can go through life and never steal, never break the law, never do anything. My mama never served time. That surprise you? There's a lot of people that never do time. Most folks don't. None of my kids have had to go for treatment. There's just things. You can live and dot all the I's and cross all the T's, people, and not get to heaven. It's not what you do. It's that one thing. Somebody said this, said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm going to one day. I tell you what, Leland, one of these days I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. Yeah, you know, I know I need to do that. I know that it'd be better. I'd be better for my family. It'd be better for me. I know if I just turned my life over to God, it'd be a lot better. And one of these days, I'm going to do it. One of these days. And we never get around to it. One guy said, when I get all straightened out, I'm coming to church. And that's how he came to church. They straightened him out and rolled him down front and buried him. He that believeth not is condemned already. Gonna be? No. See, you don't have to wait, and I don't have to wait till we die to know where we're going. It's not that at death, okay, what's going to happen now? We can all know before that day ever comes. You can know today. It's we talk sometime about the Bible being such a, well, I don't want to understand the words. There's all these things in it that I don't understand. And the Bible tells us that in 1 John chapter 5, I want you to turn there if you would. It's way right before the book of Revelation. Same guy who wrote this, wrote the Gospel of John. We've been reading that on. But in 1 John chapter 5, that's the last chapter in 1 John, verse 12. Now let's look at verse 11. So this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not in mine and your good, doing good. It's not in our going to church. It's not in our trying to keep commandments. It's not in our not trying not to steal. This life is in his Son. And it's not in the church. And it's not in the religion. This life is in his Son. Now notice verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know what? There's 19 single syllable words. Just one syllable words that anybody can understand. He that hath the Son hath life. Didn't ask what church you're going to. What rituals have you been? That's why. He that hath the Son. Do you have the Son? If you got the Son, you got life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And nothing else matters. All of that is like icing on the cake. Somebody said it's like the curl in a pig's tail. Not any more meat. Just fancy your tail. He that hath the Son. This is what we're back to. John 3. He that believeth not is condemned already because. This don't think going to get you in trouble. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Everybody has that chance. And everybody can do that. And you can do it anywhere, and you can do it at any time if you really want the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And I've tried to be as just as plain and honest as I can, and I don't think there's anybody in here that hadn't understood what I said. I've not spoken over anybody's head. You know. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Do you have the Son? I'm not interested in whatever else you might have or not have. Do you have the Son? He that hath the Son hath life. You say, Leland, there's a time in my life that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. There was a time when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And as best I know how, I put my faith and trust in Jesus at that moment. You can recall the time that you did that. You say, Leland, I've trusted him as my Savior. Would you just slip your hand up? I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Nobody looking around. If you've trusted him, would you lift your hand up? Yeah. Now then, put your hand back down. You're here tonight and you say, Leland, I've never trusted Jesus Christ. You may be a church member. You might have been baptized. You might have gone through, had communion. You may have never committed a crime. But you say, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never put my faith and trust in him. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one? Real quick. I've never trusted Christ. Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else? Real quickly. I've never trusted Christ. I see your hand, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? Now, here's what I want you to do. In a minute, we're going to stand with our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed. Brother Charles is going to sing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I want you to come on that very first verse and say, I take Jesus as my Savior tonight. I'm not going to put this off any longer. I want to get this settled. I want to leave here knowing that whatever happens to me, I'm on my way to heaven. And you can know that. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes still closed. Our Heavenly Father, you know the hearts tonight. Father, would you give those that lifted their hand and those that didn't should have, give them the courage, the faith to step out for you tonight. In Christ's name we ask it. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Brother Charles, begin the verse. Would you come right now? Just as I am. Would you step out and say, I take Jesus as my Savior. Come on.
And that you bid me.
ask Brother Charles to sing one more verse, and we're through. We're going to sing that one verse, and if somebody comes or if nobody comes, we're through. That'll be the last one. But if you've done what God wants you to do, please, I beg you, and I'm not embarrassed about begging, I beg you, don't put it off. Would you turn your heart, your mind, and your soul over to Jesus Christ tonight? Would you come and trust Him? Sing one more verse, Brother Charles. Come on.
Just as I am.
Come on.
And waiting.
You know you need to do it. You know God's speaking to your heart. You know what He wants. Come on. Yes, God bless you. Come on. Come right on. Someone else, real quickly. Come on. Do what God wants you to do. Come on. Come on.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.